Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
You know, I wish I had one of those spokesperson that at the end of a car commercial that gave you all of those disclaimers that you barely understood what was just said. But I have a couple of disclaimers this morning, and I'm not going to say them real fast because I want you to hear what is being said. First of all, I borrowed this sermon from a place called Sermon Central, and it's how to meet the new year. Second disclaimer is, in this sermon, you will hear a lot about you. Now, I want to be the first because I don't want people to think that I'm excluding myself from this. In everything that is said and in every statement that is made, I am first in this statement. I do include myself in the term you. So, with that being said, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What's new about it? You know, January 2nd, has already occurred over 2,022 times. We still have 7 days in a week. The sun still rises at about 6 o'clock in the morning. It sets about 6 p.m. Most months, with the exception of February, has 30 or 31 days. We still live in the same old house. You drive the same old car. You probably even have the same job. So what's new? So you know what? I'm going to change that saying, Happy New Year, to Happy You Year. Because the only thing that can make this year new is you. You are the only one. You will make it a new year, or you will continue it to be as it was before in 2020, 21, 19, 18. Let's go all the way back to 1961 when I was born. Only person that's going to make it a new year is you. So I say to you, Happy You Year. Now, for many people, the first week of January is depressing. Why? Families have gone. Christmas presents have been opened. Mom's sweet potato pie is gone. So we have to go back to work. Some of us have to go back to school. Even more depressing is the New Year's resolution we set and break so fast. We tell ourselves, you know, this year, I'm going to be kinder to people. This year, I'm going to go to church every Sunday. This year, I'm going to read the entire Bible in 1 year. This year, I'm going to get my finances together. This year, I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to get myself in better shape. And January turns into February, March, April, and May. And then December rolls around. And we look back at all of our accomplishments and we say, was I nicer to people? Did I go to church every Sunday? Did I read the Bible? Are my finances better? Do I have more money in the bank? Did I pay all my bills on time? Am I in better shape? So, there's an old Irish saying that goes like this. May your troubles in the upcoming year be as short as your New Year's resolution. I would really like to think more about the positive things than the negative things. You know, because God doesn't want us to focus on our trouble. If we look at 2 Corinthians verse 5:17, now these versions might be a little bit different than what you're seeing up there, but therefore it's all the same. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. Paul also read these words while he was in jail. He said, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. As we approach this new year, I want us to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. It's a fresh start. A new calendar year tells us that we have a fresh gift to build and change our life. Every new year and every day is the opportunity to get righter and closer to God than the day before or the year before. So on this first Sunday of the new you year, I want to encourage us to commit to more focusing more on our spiritual things in this upcoming year. One of the best New Testament scriptures that is chosen for today's reading is a letter that is written to the first Christian Colossians, and Paul says, reminds them, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden in Christ in God. Those of us who are Christians have experienced that. We've experienced the spiritual death and also the spiritual birth. For all of our hopes, dream, purpose, and all the power, all that we are is centered in Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God. Our focus and our priorities must no longer be centered on the things of this earth, but on the things of God. This, of course, is a real challenge because we still live in the world. We still see everything that the world sees every day. But you know what? We can overcome those things. Just because we live in a world doesn't mean that we're not going to have the struggles, but we can get over them. Now, I'm not trying to say that a spiritual-focused life in this new year is going to be easy. Forget about last year. You can't change it. So let's look at this new new year as a way of getting a fresh start. And I want to point out 7 practical priorities for you to observe and put into practice in this new year. The first one is, forget about yesterday. Apostle Paul writes, but one thing I do, forget what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goals and win the prize of which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. As you know, Paul had many things that could actually hinder his life and keep him stuck in what he had did, his past. But he didn't do that. He did some terrible things to some people, very bad things. But he didn't focus on that either. You see, there's not one of us here today that doesn't have a past or doesn't have something that will hold us back from what God has for us in the future. We have a lot of failures, hurt, disappointments. But you know what? God didn't call us to focus on those things. He doesn't want you to remember what you did yesterday or last year. See, God wants you to come to him for forgiveness and healing. Forget about all the pains and regret of yesterday. It is God's gift to us that we walk in a newness of life, that we can get those things past and live in the present. So that is a good place for us to start in this new year. Forget about yesterday. You can't change it. You can't even bring it back. The second one is, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Now, that's easier said than done, because tomorrow brings in itself its own struggles, its own worries, its own problems. But that's not what God wants us to focus on either. You see, when you don't feel good or you're in pain, you go to the doctor. What does he do? He checks you out and then he takes out that little tablet or a little pad and he writes you a prescription. Jesus gave us this description. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than what you wear? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add one single hour to your life? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble in its own. Now take that medication once or twice a day and live a long and happy life. Jesus promised that God knows what we need. And God will provide your needs. It is our job, no matter how tough it is and how much you may not want to believe it, but God does provide and he will provide. But first, in this new year, you have to seek him. Put him first. Stay prayerful and stay faithful. Paul also writes, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. Now, let's not fool ourselves. Let's not pretend that this is going to be easy, but I guarantee you there's no better way, and you've heard this over and over. Pray, and God will give you peace. There's a person named Corrie ten Boom who suffered greatly during the time of her life when the Germans invaded her home country. And she had this to say, worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, it empties today of strength. Our only hope and help are in trusting in God. Whatever you face in this new year, you'll be better off if you make it a priority to forget the past and not to worry about tomorrow. Number three, make today count. Make today count. A famous man named Groucho Marx says, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow isn't here yet. I only have one day, and that is today. And I choose how it will be and how I will be. And I choose to enjoy this day. The only day we have, and really the only moment we have, is right now, today. Tomorrow is not promised, not even the rest of this day. A former church member of ours, Luis Mercado, now some of you all may remember him, he spent a lot of time in the hospital. And I remember one Sunday he came back to church, and I saw him, and I walked up to him, and I said, Luis, it is so nice to see you. And he said, thank you. It's so nice to see you too. He said, but one thing I believe and I say, this is the day that God had given me, and I will enjoy it to the fullest. And I was like, wow. You know, that phrase right there, it hit me real hard that day. Not that he was the first person to ever say it, okay? Because I've heard it before. But he was so true. He was so true in that statement. This is the day, today. Why worry about tomorrow? You can't predict. You can't even set a course of what tomorrow is going to be like. You only have today. And you, in this new year, can determine how you're going to be. As Groucho Marx said, and I choose to be happy. In Psalms 18, verse 24, it says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. As we try to live day one day at a time and make each day count, we can only do it by walking in God with God. We thank God for each day and be glad for each day, and we ask him to guide us and to help us make each day count. Focusing on one day at a time frees us of the broken of our past and the worries of our future. The following four priorities are the way you can make each day count. The first one is, help every person you can. Funny, as I just read that, the first thing popped into my mind was the people begging on the corner. Hungry. Please help. Now, I can honestly say, I turned the face. I closed the eye. I turned up the radio. I looked the other way. But am I helping him? No matter what his intent is with that $1 that I give him, it's not my business, not my problem. God sees. He not only sees my action, but he sees my heart. And that's the most important thing. So in this new year, let God see your heart, because he knows what's in it even before you do it. As we focus on our own attention, you know, we turn away from the struggles of others. And yeah, we may have a lot of problems going on in our personal life. We don't know what they're facing. We have no idea. It's not for us to know, but to only be a blessing to somebody else. And when you bless somebody else, not only do you bless that person, but you also bless yourself. So be a blessing to somebody in this new year. Bless yourself and bless someone else. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." In the chapter before that, Paul beautifully summarized the Christian life in these words. It says, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Living for Christ is about giving and loving. Love makes everything lovely, especially you and me. It's a great new year and a great new life if you can give and you can focus on others and attempt to help everyone you can. The next one is, keep your heart pure. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God." I'm going to read that one more time. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I think each and every one of us live for that moment. Because whether you believe it or not, you will see God. One day. One day. Any mechanic will tell you that a clean engine not only performs better, but it also delivers more power. A clean house is not only more welcoming, but it's also fulfilling. And the same thing holds true to a pure heart. A clean heart leads to blessing. You know, we hurt ourselves by keeping all kind of garbage in our life, in our heart, in our mind. Things like desire, jealousy, hatred, thoughts of revenge. These kind of things are just like a cancer. It will eat away at you day by day, hour by hour. They poison our life and they block our ability to enjoy the fruitful life that God has planned for each and every one of us. That's why the passage right after the one we read in the scripture says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immoralities, impurity, lust, evil desire and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways and in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all these things: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self and its practice and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and image of God." Again, I'm not trying to say that any of this is easy. In Romans chapter 7, Paul talked about how it was a real struggle for him to do what he knew was right. And I can testify how difficult it is to keep a healthy and a pure heart. But this must be an ongoing priority. If we give in to the temptation and the evil and allow ourselves to take up the residency in our heart, those kind of things, then we allow ourselves to enjoy a peaceful life that God intended. But just as Paul concluded, I believe that God will give us the resources we need to develop a pure and a healthy life. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, 24, 25, "What a wretched man I am, who will rescue you from this body of death. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Thanks God that there is hope for us. That there is hope for a pure heart and a pure life. With His guidance and with His help, you can achieve these things. So in this new year, give God a chance. Spend some time with Him. Amen. Number 6, renew your strength daily. Now, if you've ever watched the weightlifting competition in the Olympics, these guys don't just show up the week before training camp and start to lift the amount of weight that they do, sometimes doubling their own body weight. They don't just show up at the Olympics and say, "Hey, coach, I'm here. I'm ready. Put the 500 pounds on the bar and watch me lift that over my head." Doesn't work that way. It's years and years of practice, years of training. The same thing with your spiritual growth, your spiritual life. You know, you're not going to walk up the day before, God says, "Ed, on Tuesday, you're going to die." I say, "Oh, I guess I better start praying now. And I'm going to have a good, healthy, strong spiritual life." Doesn't happen that way. The minute your eyes are open and your heart changes and your eyes start to see the path that you are walking on, and you, in this new year, change how you are going to be. Remember what I said earlier. You are the only person that can make this a new year. You. Nobody else. With God's help. So then you start to pray. And you start to read. And you start to come to church more. And you start to meditate, not on just what you heard, but what also what you read. Because it's not just about reading the Bible. It's about meditating on it. You know, God would love for us to take our Bible and stuff and stick it in our back pocket. And then whenever we get to where we open it back up and look at it again. We do have cell phones. You can do that. Another disclaimer. But God does want you to think about, you know, when you leave here today on any given Sunday, maybe you're watching a sermon on TV. You're just flipping through the channel and you see somebody like Charles Stanley preaching the word and you sit there for a minute and you hear what he said. That is meant for you to take with you. Not just leave it in the pew, not just leave it on your chair at home, in your recliner, in your bed, wherever you are, but to take it with you. Meditate on it. What does that mean? Not that what, how does it mean to my mom, or what does it mean to my sister, or what does it mean to my neighbor, but what does it mean to me? How does this affect my life? And in this new year, that's what it takes. It takes you making changes, doing what you feel is right in God's eyes to make this a new year, a new you year. Just lost my place here. So again, I'm not trying to say that any of this is easy, but, you know, you can make it right in God. Only you. There's a good passage in Isaiah 40, verse 28 and 30. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heaven, of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Just as our bodies require daily nourishment of food and water, so does our spiritual growth. And that growth starts with connecting with God, spending time with Him. And where do we get our nourishment from? Look at what is said in Psalms chapter 1. "Blessed is the man who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the Lord, the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Which he is like a tree planted by the stream of water, which yields fruit in the season and whose leaves does not wither. Whatever he does, prosper." Think about that. As we go through the season, because right now it's kind of late and everything with all the warm weather we've been having. Happy winter, by the way. But you notice that the trees have pretty much lost their leaves. But what this passage is saying, that by drawing from the nourishment of the Bible and God, your leaves will not wither. That's what I call an evergreen tree. Wouldn't you like that to be part of your life? Wouldn't you like your life to look like that? That you're getting stronger on God's word, and only with his help, that you draw from the nourishment of the Bible, that you draw from the fruit of being in prayer with him. What a strong, fruitful tree we all would be if every day we focused on that. I want to encourage each and every one of us this year to spend more time with God. For some of us, this has been our priority for many years. There is no way to do so but through Scripture and prayer. And this also includes devotionals, songs, books, fellowship with other Christians. The important thing is that we have a consistent time and place to meet with God. As you meet with him and exercise your spiritual muscle, we gain the spiritual strength we need for each day. Jesus demonstrated the importance of being connected to the Father. And as he spent time praying, what an example that would be for us too. And last, act on God's promises and command. Philippians 4:9, Paul says, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into your practice, and the God of peace will be with you." There's no substitute. There's nothing you can take over the counter, under the counter, wherever. That's substitute for faith and obedience. God is pleased when we trust in his promises and we act on his command. As we move into this new year, let us make it a priority to claim God's promise and to do so in walking in faith. And when we know that there is something good that God wants to do in our life, why don't we take the old added saying that Nike says, just do it. It's a good recipe when we come and we understand what God is doing in our life. So in this new year of 2022, which is before us just as the sunrise, may God make the best of this year at Horeb Baptist Church and for each and every one of us. 2022 can be a happy new year if you put forth the effort we talked about in today's sermon. I believe the seven priorities we have discussed today can lead us to the goal of getting closer to God. Let us forget about yesterday. Let us not worry about tomorrow. Let us make every day count. Let us help everyone that we can. Let us keep our heart pure. And let us renew our strength in God every day. And last, let us act on God's promises and on his command. There's a guy named James L. Kraft. And he is the founding father of Kraft Food. And it was his goal, his idea, to become rich and famous. But you see, James Kraft didn't start out that way. He wanted to be the most famous and most productive cheesemaker there is. He wanted to be rich and famous. And every day he would hook up his little wagon and he would pull by a horse named Patty and he would go through the streets of Chicago selling his cheese. Well, after many months, a lot of worries, a lot of struggle, James Kraft realized he wasn't making it. He was putting in long hours, but he wasn't making any money. And one day as he was pulling his horse through the street, he stopped it, and he went up to his horse, Patty, and he said, "Patty, we're not doing it right. It's got to be a better way." He said, "You know what? We got to change our priorities. We got to do things different." So he said, "Starting today, we will put God first. And he went home and he made a covenant. And he said, Lord, today I put you first. And from that moment on, he went out into the streets of Chicago and his business grew to, as we know it today, Kraft Food. But he made a statement one day and he says, I want to read it correctly. I'm going to go back to my notes here. He said, I would rather be a layman in North Shore Baptist Church than the head of the greatest corporation in America. My first job is serving Jesus. Let us not forget, Jesus is everything. Without God, life is meaningless. The best of life and eternity are all wrapped up in God. We will never be sorry about focusing on a life of serving God. This next verse of scripture reads from Colossians 3, chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is our hope and our goal. May God bless you and walk with you as you serve him in this new year. Go back to Corinthians, Brandon, please. Verse 3, chapter 4. Let's look at the last part of this verse. Then you also will be revealed with him in glory. That should be our focus. That should be our focus in this new year. That we appear with him in his glory. See, God didn't create us to condemn us, but he created us so that we would be with him. So this new year, make that your number one job. Get closer to him. See, we can and we will do everything in this new year. And all we have to do is come to him. Let Jesus be the start of your day and the end of the day. Remember, you can't change yesterday. You have no control over tomorrow. All you have is today. Today. Right now. This moment.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.